All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm preaching a message I've titled, The Resurrection, Hope, and New Life. So as Christians, our foundation, what we're founded upon is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We were studying the book of Acts. We've almost made it and have made it to the last two chapters. And you go through the book of Acts time and time again. It's all about the resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians 15, 14, now you could read the whole passage in there, but we're just going to hone in on two verses. One is verse 14. And it says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So without the resurrection, you know, our faith would be empty. It would be meaningless. There would be no faith without the resurrection. Our hope is not on the things on this earth, not on material things, but on the power of God to overcome death, to overcome sin, which is what He did through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that He raised Him from the dead gives us hope of eternal life. Without the resurrection, look at verse 17, we would have no hope of eternal life. In verse 17, and if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. So when I was looking at the resurrection, considering the resurrection, I got to thinking about those two thoughts, and I really went through and have several different subpoints that I want to look at. But, you know, we would be left with despair if it wasn't for the resurrection. What changed my life was the fact that Christ rose from the grave. Yes, there He was. He died on that cross. He shed His blood. He became sin for us, the Bible says, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in Him. So the Bible says that's what happened. That's what enables us to be called Christians, to truly be a Christian, is the fact that He was raised from the dead. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 21. You see, the resurrection gives us hope in the face of adversity, in the face of challenges, in the face of difficulties in our lives. We look to Jesus as the example. He overcame death through His resurrection. See, that's what it's all about. Death could not hold Him, and in fact, hell could not hold Him. The Bible says that Christ's soul was not left in hell. Why not? Because He died for our sin. It was our sin that caused Him to suffer death. You see, if there was no sin, there would be no death, for the wages of sin is death. Without Him taking our sin upon Him, He would never die. He would have hung on that cross for a billion years and never died. He took our sin upon Him, then He could die. But death couldn't hold Him because they weren't His sins. So the Bible says His soul left that cross, left His body. The body's still on the cross. And He goes to hell. Hell couldn't hold Him. He goes over into paradise on the same day. The thief on the cross that repented of his sins and trusted the Lord, he's there. And Jesus comes over. They reunite. He reunites with everybody prior to the cross that's in paradise. And then 3 days later, on Sunday morning, He resurrects from the grave. His soul rejoins His body. They move back the stone, not because He couldn't walk through it, because He could. They move back the stone so that they could see inside and realize the body was gone.
Yes, sir.
The body was gone because He walked out of the grave. The body was gone because He resurrected from the dead. And that's what our hope lies in. Without that resurrection, we have nothing. That's why we call this Resurrection Sunday. Yep, some people call it Easter. And listen, that's fine if they want to call it Easter. Easter in the Bible is found one time in the King James Bible in Acts 12:4. There was a king that wanted to celebrate, wanted to kill a Christian, and wanted to wait until after he celebrated Easter to kill him. It's a correct translation. He wanted to celebrate Easter, Ishtar. It's, you know, you got eggs and fertility. You got bunnies, fertile. And that's what Easter is in reality. Now, Resurrection Sunday's today. So if you want to call it Easter, you call it Easter. I call it Resurrection Sunday because that's what it is. We celebrate the resurrection. People who call it Easter, they celebrate the resurrection too. It's just a little technicality that I like to make sure I point out so you understand. It's the resurrection that we're looking at. The resurrection is the cornerstone of our faith. In Matthew 21, verse 42, Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing and is a marvelous in our eyes. You see, the stone the builders rejected is the cornerstone. So this morning I was looking at that and I was thinking, well, you know, it's important to understand biblical terminology. What's the cornerstone? It's the key element in architecture, especially ancient architecture. It's the first stone laid in a building's foundation and served as a reference point for all other stones and walls in the construction. I built a house across the street and they put the lines up. They're getting ready to build one over here and you'll see they put the stakes in, they'll put the string up, and then they'll have to find a point that all the other points in the building go off of. If they laid a stone there, now we pour concrete, but if they laid a stone there, that stone would be called the cornerstone. What's our cornerstone? It's Jesus Christ. He is the all in all. Without Him, we have no hope. Without Him, there is nothing. He came into this world. He was born of a virgin. His purpose was to die on that cross to become a future king. One day He'll put that crown on. Right now, He is watching the world and He is impressing upon those of us that are saved to try to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, to talk to others about Christ on what He did and what it means on that cross. What did He do on that cross? He died. He shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins. So in the same way, He's the foundation of the church, just like that cornerstone in a building. Turn to another verse in John chapter 11 for our second point. Christ is the standard for all believers. He holds everything together. You know, scientists have been looking for a long time and they say they don't understand how the atom doesn't explode. They don't understand that. They don't understand how you can have all those electrons that should be repelling and there's something holding it together. And sometimes they'll come up with the black matter or the this or that. Listen, let me tell you what it is. By Him, the Bible says, all things consist. By Jesus Christ, He holds everything together. You yourself would just blow up if it wasn't for Jesus Christ. Everything is held together by Jesus Christ. The second point I want to make is that the resurrection reminds us that death is not the end. In John 11, verse 25, Jesus speaking to Martha, and He says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. You see, Christ's victory over death and sin means we too can have eternal life in Him. You see, I live in this life and I walk this earth and you know, tomorrow's Monday and some of you have got to go to work. You know, and you go to work and you get done with work and then Tuesday you go to work and you get done with work and Wednesday you go to work and you get, you know, and then for church people, Wednesday's the midweek break. You got something, you know, where you get recharged for the rest of the week and then Thursday and Friday and you go, oh man, thank God it's Friday. Really? I mean, thank God it's any day. Yes. Thank God I got the breath to breathe. Amen. And so you get Friday and then Saturday comes. You know what the world does? The world says, well, let's go out and party. And you know, listen, I was there. I did that. You know, party, man, Saturday and Sunday. And then, boy, you got to get up on Monday. I was that close to getting an Article 15 in the Air Force because I overslept. I'd be out all night, go to bed about 2 or 4, whatever it was. And then I had to be at work at 6 in the morning. And if I wasn't there, the commander didn't get his read. I had to be there at 5 in the morning. If the commander didn't get his read file, he's the wing commander. Well, I overslept. They let it go. I overslept again. They called me in and said, hey, this is it. I stood at attention. I said, sir, it will not happen again. Man, I had all kinds of alarms going. I just found a way to make sure I was never late again. But I was that close to getting busted. Why? Oh, because I lived for the weekend. It was Saturday, it was Sunday. Hey, it was Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and Thursday, and Friday night too sometimes. It just depended. But that's what I live for. You know what I live for now? I live for Jesus Christ. And Him alone. There is no other purpose. You know what gives me hope? He was resurrected from the dead. You know how I know He was resurrected from the dead? By faith. The Bible says, but I have to believe by faith. I've never seen Jesus. I've never heard Him speak to me in my ear. I've heard Him speak to me in my heart. But I know He exists. I know He was resurrected. I know what I believe. Why? Because the Bible tells me, and that's where my faith lies. He was talking to Martha. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. He said later on, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto me but by the Father. Whatever it says. I just messed up John 14:6. Yeah, I know. I got it. I just bear with me. I didn't have my vitamins this morning. When you look, go ahead and look at John chapter 3. Oh, here we go. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thank you for those that said it. I probably got it, but I just said it in my mind. I got it. You got to stand up here sometime and find out if you can hit 100. Bat 1,000. So here's the third one. The resurrection is a reminder of God's love. He sacrificed His Son so we might be saved. Through that sacrifice, He gives us the gift of eternal life. John 3:16, very familiar verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, that verse, it speaks about the sacrificial nature of Christ's death on the cross. It also emphasizes that love is what motivated God to send His Son to redeem humanity. Thank God for God's love. If there was no love, we would have no hope. He loved us so much that He sent His Son from heaven's glory down here to this earth so that we could be saved. What a gracious and merciful God. Look at another verse. Look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You see that verse? Well, let me quote another verse to you. It's Romans 5:8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You see, that verse speaks to the fact that God's love for us is not based on our goodness or our worthiness, but rather on undeserved, unmerited love. We don't earn God's love. We don't deserve God's love. God loved us while we were yet enemies, while we were yet sinners. That's how God loved us. And listen, when you get saved, you know how God loves you? As a saved sinner. He didn't look at you and say, well, I'm not going to love you if you don't do anything perfect. If you don't do everything I tell you to do, I'm not going to love you. No, He says, I love you in spite of yourself. Thank God it's that way, because there are many a time in my life where I failed Him. I've let Him down. I've messed things up, and yet His love remains true. Why? It's the unmerited favor, the unmerited love. I don't merit His love. You don't merit His love before salvation. You don't merit His love after salvation. A lot of preaching's wrong about that. Oh, you better do right. God's going to get you. Where's the mercy? Where's the grace? Where's the long-suffering? Oh, we just throw it out the window, because if you tell people about that, they're going to do whatever they please. Let me tell you, I do everything I please. I do. You know what pleases me? What pleases the Father? I was going to say most of the time. I can't say all the time. I'll say frequently. I try to do that. Why? Because that's what I want to do. Why am I here this morning? Why am I standing up here preaching? Because I want to please the Father. Why will I study this afternoon and preach tonight? Because I want to please the Father. Why do I study? Why do I spend so much time in the Bible? Because I want to know Him intimately. I want to know Him better tomorrow than I did today. I want to know Him better next week than I did this week, next month than this month, next year than this year. I want to know Him better and better and better, because the closer that I draw nigh unto Him, what does He do? He draws nigh unto me. Our verse this year. Draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. If you don't draw nigh unto God, He isn't moving. You say, well, he'll grab me by the neck and drag me over there. That's not what the Bible says, not what the Bible teaches, and it's not true.
Right.
You think about it. He created everything. And the Bible says, and the stars.
Right.
That's the creation of many galaxies. More stars than you can count.
Sure.
He created it all. And you're going to tell me that He can't make you do His will? Sure He can. His will be done. But His will is not always done. In other words, it's all going to turn out the way the Bible at the end says it's going to turn out. But getting there might be a mess for humanity. But it's all going to work out. He's not going to make you serve Him. He's not going to make me serve Him. So when we look at the resurrection, it also offers, fourth thing, a new beginning and a fresh start. Boy, I like that. You know what I needed 40 years ago? You know what Hank and Barbara needed 40 years ago? A fresh start.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I need every morning? I don't mean a cup of coffee. I mean a fresh start.
Right.
I need a new beginning. I need to look at life from the perspective of God and say, I need to look at this thing from God's perspective because my perspective doesn't look very good. The more I look out there in the world, the sadder I get. You know, I was listening to the radio because I'll turn it on in my car and it'll be on Fox News because I don't watch the news on television. I watch YouTube and I watch a little clip of it because they say, hey, you watch this clip, it's the best thing on, you know, the best thing, and I don't have to watch the whole stupid thing all day. I mean, I've been in homes where Fox News is on 24/7. And maybe not that long, but we'll say 12 hours a day. And I've even been in the home and I left it on and I'm working and I look up an hour later and they're on the same news story and it just grieved me. And I was like, man, I'm not going to do that. So I did it for a little while. You know, I went ahead and turned it on. You remember when we first started watching the news? The Iran, when they took our prisoners. Yes, not Iran-Contra. It's what?
The hostage crisis.
Remember that? Koppel? Yeah. Koppel. It's all the same. But that's when we started getting hooked to 24-hour-a-day news. Was right then. And you know, they got to keep feeding you junk to get you to pay attention. If they put all good... Now, they finally got to where they put a good story on every now and then. A mushy, make-you-feel-good story. But most of the stories, in order to keep your attention, they got to keep you in turmoil. They got to keep you mad. And they got to give you the semblance that there's one side for good and one side for bad when all of them are just the same. They'll twist the story for their own purposes. The resurrection. Hey, it offers new beginnings, a fresh start. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Did I have you turn there? Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. How many things have become new? What does all mean? Wow, you guys, man, I'm telling you, I'm liking it over here. I think we need to come over here more often. Forget the church over there. Hey, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I'm a new creature. I became a new creature 4 decades ago. You're a new creature if you're saved. A new creature. Wait a minute. I still got this same human flesh. I didn't change. I lost my hair, but that was gradual. I'm a new creature. You're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become old. That's how we feel. All things are become new. That's the way it's supposed to be. Then why does the world keep pumping our brains full of junk? Because it doesn't want you to know what you have, the blessings you have.
Right.
Hey, resurrection offers a new beginning and a fresh start. I got that fresh start. Every Christian gets that fresh start. What do you do with a fresh start? Either you keep it moving forward or you get stagnant. If you're stagnant and not moving forward, you are moving backwards. We got a new beginning, a fresh start. That means the old self with its sinful nature, its sinful habits, it's been crucified with Christ. It's been replaced by a new self, empowered by the Holy Ghost within to live a life that honors God. How are you going to honor God? You've got to find out what it is that honors God. You have to determine. The most important thing in life is what? Christ. The resurrection. The new life that I have. Being a new creature. Old things are passed away. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. The fifth thing. The resurrection is a beacon of hope. A beacon of hope. Now, this beacon of hope is in a very dark and uncertain world. You think about when you're on the coastline and you see that light in that building going around. It's a beacon of hope to the sailor, right? It reminds us that we serve a God who lives in us. He's alive. He's active in the world so long as we make Him active. God could take over the whole world, and He will one day. One day, His enemies are all going to be destroyed. The rapture is going to happen. Believers are caught out. The only people left on this earth are the lost. Then you'll have the 144,000, the two witnesses, the angel flying through the air with the everlasting gospel. And the world is going to have chance to repent. And we'll have to decide, am I going to repent or am I going to stay the same? When we look at Hebrews chapter 6, the resurrection is a beacon of hope. Look at verse 18 and part of 19. He says that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Doesn't sound very wishy-washy to me, does it?
No.
Talks about an anchor and talks about steadfast. Talks about immutable things. Talks about the impossibility for God to lie. God does not lie. If God says it, I believe it. Period. And whether you believe it or not doesn't matter. It's still true.
Yes.
Two immutable things. And He tells us that the resurrection in the Bible, that is a beacon of hope. I think about the promise of eternal life and what it gives to people, that hope and that sense of purpose. Knowing that your lives have an eternal significance and have eternal value. Can you imagine if you really get hold of that, how important that is? To have purpose in your life? The reason that I try to do as much as I do and try to do more and more and more is because I have a purpose in life, and that's to glorify God. I cannot do enough. I just absolutely can't. There just isn't. If there were 48 hours in a day, I'd try to jam as much in that 48 hours as I can. I jam as much in 24 hours as I can. And listen, I just always want to do more. The sixth thing. The resurrection is a celebration of hope. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. We celebrate the hope that is found in the empty tomb. Or maybe the better way to say it is we celebrate the empty tomb in which the body is not found. Just as the resurrection brought hope to the disciples, it brings hope that can overcome any challenge with the help of our Savior. Any challenge you have in your life can be overcome by that hope we have in Christ. The resurrection brings hope to all who believe in Jesus because it shows us that death is not the end. We have a new life in Christ. 1 Peter 1:3, the Bible says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." He's begotten us unto a lively hope. I'm going to hone in on the hope for the rest of the time that we're here this morning. Resurrection Sunday, it's a celebration of hope because it reminds us that no matter how difficult our circumstances, there's always the possibility of a new beginning. The possibility of a new beginning. The hope we have in Christ is not just wishful thinking, but a deep and abiding confidence in the love and in the power of God. I understand that power. I was called to preach. I'm not a speaker. I told you in college I was going to run out the door because I was so scared. I told that instructor, that professor, I said, I can never get up there again. I will die. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You're asked to speak publicly, you'd rather die. That's me in my humanity without God. And then God called me to preach. Everything changed. Everything changed. You say, we don't see it. Just kidding. Look at Philippians chapter 4. What do you have hope for? You have hope for overcoming challenges. You see, hope provides a perspective that focuses on the eternal rather than the temporary struggles. Hope reminds us that our current trials and the current difficulties are only temporary. We have a greater hope to look forward to. Amen. That's exciting. Yes. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. What can you do? Anything which makes you stronger, you can do. I can do all things through who? Christ. What things? Those which strengthen me, I can do through Christ. You see, it doesn't say I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Because you can't do all things. You are promised that you can do anything that will strengthen you as a child of God. Strengthen your faith, you can do it. According to the Bible, according to that verse, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things which strengthen me through Christ. I just turned the phrase around. That's what it means. What about another hope? Look at Romans 8. Here are two familiar verses. I'm going to give you a second one. It's Romans 8:28. We all know what it says. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We know that all things work together. It reminds us that even when things seem hopeless, God is at work behind the scenes bringing His purposes to bear on us. I couldn't get through life if it wasn't for Christ. I face trials, I face things, and I sometimes say, Lord, why? I think about things, you know, we go through now, and I just say, Lord, you know, can't you do this? Can't you fix this? And sure He can. But then He says, all things work together for good. That is bad. That is good. That part, that part, that part, that part, all of them work together for good. But there's a caveat. To them that love God, if you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. It's not a blanket statement that applies to everything we do and to everyone. The only way that it all works together for good is if you love Him. And the only way you can tell me you love Him is if you do what He says. Yeah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when you're looking at this thing, the resurrection provides comfort and assurance to face that we'll see those that have died before us. 4:13, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, those that have already died. Ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, that's the gospel. Even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. He's going to bring all those souls that have died back with Him. Their body's going to be resurrected from the grave. It's going to meet their soul in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Where He goes, we go. Guess where He goes back to heaven. We go back to heaven with Him. 7 years later, He comes back to earth. He's going to have the armies behind Him. We're going to be riding white horses in that army. He's going to do all the fighting. But we're with Him. Where He goes, we go. There's hope in that. There's hope in the resurrection. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By the way, that ought to comfort you that you'll see your loved ones. And you'll be reunited with them. So long as they trusted Christ. 1 Corinthians 15. Hope is the resurrection. Hope in the resurrection provides strength and encouragement. Strength. Strength isn't, you know, bodily strength. It's strength of mind, strength of heart, strength of soul, strength of spirit. That's what it is. The resurrection helps us persevere through trials and challenges of life. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. That's pretty sturdy. You know what my Christian faith is? Steadfast, unmovable. If you came up to me and you said, Jesus isn't Christ, I would just look at you and say, sure He is. Well, how do you know? Jesus wasn't resurrected. I believe He was. How do you know? I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to live for eternity with Him. How do you know? Because by faith, and without faith it's impossible to please God, by faith I know what the Bible says. I believe the Bible. The Bible says it, and that's it. I believe it. I know. How do you know you have eternal life? The Bible says that you may know you have eternal life. I know I have eternal life because the Bible says that's what I got when I trusted Christ. And the change in me when I trusted Christ. One more verse, and then I'm going to read you my poem. And Philippians chapter 3. You see, the resurrection encourages us to remain steadfast in our faith, even in the face of trials, knowing that our efforts are not in vain. Philippians offers great insight into the power of the resurrection. Philippians 3:10, it's a long part of a phrase there, but I want to just read verse 10. It says, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. You're made conformable unto His death, right? He wants you to know Him. That's what the first part of the verse says. He wants you to know the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, because you're made conformable unto His death. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. And this is Resurrection Sunday. So I want to wish you a happy resurrection. I wrote a poem, and I've been writing a lot of poetry lately. Some say, well, I am not poet known, but I know what I like to my ear. And so what I do is I use a program, and I feed it this information, and then it pops something out. It usually needs a whole lot of work. But this is what I came up with this morning. The first resurrection Sunday morn, the Lord of life, Christ reborn. He bore our sins upon that tree and rose from the grave to set all free. The stone rolled away, the tomb laid bare. The angels spoke, He's not there. The news spread fast from town to town. Christ had risen, soon to don His crown. Some still doubted, could it be true? New life in Christ for me and you? Without Christ's resurrection, you see, our faith is vain, no hope for eternity. Hear the truth from God's Word so bold, the resurrection story still told. Without new life, no hope, lost in sin. But with Christ's Spirit, new life born again. As we lift our voices, oh so high, sing with joy the Savior's nigh. He conquered death and the grave. Through Him, your soul too can be saved. You know, and I'm just amazed. I've written about four or five poems lately, and it takes a lot of work. I have one's 14 pages. I bet I have 50 hours in it. I just sit there and it's just like, this is what God wants me to be doing right now. He wants me to be honing in some of these things. I ask you, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you understand the resurrection? Now, if you're saved, you understand the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection means when you trust Christ, He moves in you. That's the power of the resurrection. If your body dies, and not everybody will, maybe in this room we have enough that are young enough to where the rapture may happen, you may never die. We'll all be changed. We'll meet Him in the clouds. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Those that have passed will be resurrected. Those of us that maybe are still alive, maybe it's me, maybe it's you. Our body will be changed into a glorified body, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Do you understand that hope? And do you understand that resurrection power? He says He's written the Bible that we may know. I hope you know. If you don't, you come talk to me, talk to some of the others in here and say, hey, I don't understand what you mean by being saved. Somebody will take the Bible and show you. Because that's the most important thing in life, is to know that you know that you know that Jesus Christ died for you and how to be saved. Let's all stand together. Let's pray. Lord, you thank you for your many blessings. Guide, lead, and direct during the invitation time. Lord, we pray that if there's any lost soul in our midst that can hear the sound of my voice, Lord, that they would not leave this building until they know for sure that they have eternal life in Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. With your head bowed and eyes closed, the music plays.